Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
All right, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your
show for the coast with the most growth.
And this is Jason Lee, my co-host,
Clint Aiken.
We are here with Robert Armstrong from
Carrare.
Yeah, it sounds so much better when you say it. I've been struggling to say that since we started this, but I am excited about today's show. I think the majority of our content has been centered around not only the region, the infrastructure of the region, and the things that are happening, but we haven't really got to take a tour inside of the actual plants, right? And so we had talked a little bit about safety. We have talked about workforce development, but today we're going to go into the hood. And I'm really excited about that. Clint is familiar with being under the hood. I'm not. So I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm really excited to hear what you have to say today. So we're going to dive into a little bit about Carrare's services and then talk a little bit about some of the great things that they're producing and some of the great things that are happening. And then I think we'll dive into some of their commitment to our region, some of the great stuff that's happening over there. And then we will wrap up and learn a little bit about you and your background. So, ready to dive in?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about Carrare and what you guys do.
And what's your role there?
Sure. So Carrare is a specialty chemical company, and we produce a lot of specialty polymers. And actually, we have four manufacturing sites right here in Houston. And this is the global center of production for Carrare. We have more production here than anywhere else in the world. We produce a lot of products based on the chemistry of ethylene. So we produce our own vinyl acetate monomer. And we make products from that, like polyvinyl alcohol, ethylene vinyl alcohol, and from that we also make PVB and PVB film. So a lot of different products that go into applications that range from food packaging to automotive applications to home construction.
Wow. So we are the largest, distribution channel for any of your locations. You do more revenue or more business or produce more product here in the port region. Why is that?
More manufacturing here, right, than anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is both the fact that this is a fantastic place to invest and grow. There's great infrastructure, availability of raw materials, but most importantly, it's the great people here in Houston. That's the reason that we started investing here back in 1986. And we've grown really exponentially over the last 30-odd years to now we're the largest manufacturing site that Carrare has in the world.
Well, being born and raised from Houston, I'm going to take that as a compliment. So thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, before the show, you were really sharing some, and I tell you, it was interesting to hear because when I think of chemicals, I always, you hear the word chemical, and especially today, everything is no chemicals, right?
That's bad.
Chemicals bad.
We hate chemicals.
I don't have a problem with chemicals. I mean, if it wasn't for chemicals, I wouldn't have my tail, right? So I'm kidding. But the reality is that there's a lot of good chemicals. There's a lot of things that that are absolutely necessities and requirements. And you shared some really interesting stuff before the show. Love you to share that with our audience on some of the good things that are being produced out of Carrare.
Good. Well, I hope you got a lot of time because I really enjoy talking about the applications of the products.
Please.
I've spent more than 20 years working with EVAL, EVOH. That's the ethylene vinyl alcohol copolymer that we make here in Houston. It's an amazing material. It has barrier to oxygen, gases, and hydrocarbons. It's thousands of times better than most of the other polymers, to where it's a polymer or plastic that has the same sort of barrier as metal or foil or glass. And for that reason, it goes into a lot of food packaging applications, protects food all the way from basically from the farm to the fork. So when you go to the supermarket and you look at something like meat and cheese in a flexible package or a diced fruit cup, all of those packages probably contain some of our material to protect that food for anywhere from 90 days to, in some cases, 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
That's actually the biggest application we have for EVOH is protecting food all the way through to the refrigerator.
Now, what about my tennis shoes? Because I know that they seem to be able to withstand my dynamic athletic prowess.
I'm laughing out loud for a reason.
Yeah. As I hobbled over here to sit down before I had to be an orthopedic doctor. But let's talk a little bit about that. You shared a story earlier. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was a really amazing development. A lot of people don't know that back in before the year 2000, Phil Knight of Nike made a commitment to take Nike out of using greenhouse gases. So sulfur hexafluorine is a chemical. It is a chemical that was found to affect the environment. So he made this commitment without even knowing what the solution was going to be. He said, Nike will be out of using sulfur hexafluorine within 3 years.
Wow.
And so we were part of a group of about 50 different companies. We developed 100 different options for Nike to evaluate as a way to improve the gas barrier of those air soles that you see in Nike shoes.
Right.
And it ended up that our material, EVOH, was the best barrier, best flexibility, best durability, and it fit within the way that they wanted to manufacture those air soles. So from 2000 until today, that's what Nike has used. And we heard just this week, I was meeting with Nike. They told us that more than 300 million shoes now have been created using this EVOH technology.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
Well, in regards to the compliment that I felt like you gave us earlier, being you know, here in the city of Houston, I'm actually also going to credit you for my ability to touch the basketball net. So
that's right.
Prior to that, it didn't even seem feasible,
yeah.
And then something changed, and I'm gonna say it was Karari's gas. So that's pretty amazing. I'm excited about that.
It does give you a little extra bounce.
Yeah, it gives me a little extra bounce. So. Talk to us a little bit about what you guys are doing in the region. I know you guys are actively involved in a few other things outside of just the scope of what's happening in the walls of your plants. Talk to us about your engagement and what's taking place regionally for Karari.
Yeah, we're really excited about the way we're continuing to develop our relationships with the community and all the other folks here in Houston, whether it's on the government side or in industry, and particularly through the Port Alliance. One of the things we're really excited about is the commitment that everyone is making to the new petrochemical center at San Jacinto College. So we're one of a number of companies that are sponsoring, you know, the building of that and also supporting the program. I've got about five of my engineers that are involved in helping develop the program for the students that are going to go to that center next year.
Can we just take a second to highlight that? Because, you know, I don't think when our audience is listening to that, I don't think they realize what it means to put five-year engineers in there. That's a lot of commitment and overhead that you're committing to San Jac to make sure that the future generation of workforce in this local community is going to get out there, do it right, and do it safely. And you're making sustainable products that are good for the environment too. So I think that's, I just wanted to take a second to point that out, because that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're one of a number of companies that are making this commitment to supporting the San Jac Center. And the reason we're doing that is because there are so many opportunities within the industry that I don't think everyone is aware of.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots and lots of jobs inside and outside the fence where we need people that, you know, that you know, have skills, that they have a craft, and we have to be ready to replace the folks that have worked 20 or 30 years. They're ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And we want us to make sure that people know those great jobs are there and help them get the education and training they need so they can take advantage of it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I also want to talk about was you had mentioned that Karari, kind of going back to an issue just real quick, y'all have four other sites in Houston, and y'all also have joint ventures with other sites here. So y'all have got a pretty big footpath. It's, everybody drives by 225 and sees that location. They think that y'all are these tiny, one of the smaller plants, honestly, on 225. So they don't realize how big of a footpath y'all have. So can you talk about that just a little bit more?
Absolutely. So we do have four manufacturing sites here in Houston producing a number of different products. And so we've got more than 400 folks working in manufacturing that work for Karari America right here in Houston. There's a lot of infrastructure. Again, that's one of the major reasons that we're all here in Houston is we have infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to share raw materials and intermediate products. And some of that is going on underneath your feet. There are pipelines that just crisscross the entire Gulf region, particularly around Houston. And that's the way a lot of plants actually share materials. It's a safe and effective way for us to move chemicals from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I, that's one of the things that I don't think a lot of folks are aware of.
Right. Appreciate you touching on that.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles appreciate it too.
I'm sure they do.
I'm just kidding. No, I just think it's amazing when I had the opportunity one time to step back and see a map of everything that's taking place across this region. And what's interesting is when they say it moves from this site to this site through the channel, through underground, right? And so it's amazing to know that all those things are moving cohesively and work at the level that they work. And I'm sure it's probably a fun job to be involved in on a daily basis, I would imagine.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and that infrastructure is again, one of the reasons that Houston has been so successful. So it's the investment by companies and government in infrastructure, whether it be pipelines, roads, the ship channel, you know, all of those things is what has made Houston a competitive and a great place to invest. And Houston is continuing to invest in that infrastructure as well. And I think that's what really makes Houston a great city of opportunity.
Yeah, I was at breakfast with a client and he was sharing his experience working in the refineries in another state. And he ended up leaving the refineries, starting his own company, and then picked his company up and moved it to Houston solely based on the fact that, and when I shared with him about our organization, the Economic Alliance, the things that were happening, and now that he's starting to gain some traction here, his exact words were, "You don't see this in other places." Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like everything else is against fighting the growth of the things that are taking place, whereas here, local government, organizations, cities, the community, everyone's gathered together to say, how do we make it all work together to grow? And I think that's why I consistently hear a constant theme about why people are here. I think
That's exactly right. And it's all the support, you know, industries as well. You know, we talk a lot about how if you have a problem, there is someone in Houston that can help you within 24 hours. Unless you've worked somewhere else, you don't really realize and appreciate what is available right here in the city of Houston. That supports industry.
That's fantastic. So with that, I think that's a great transition to our break. So we'll take a quick time out.
Yeah, thank our sponsors. Absolutely. So come back.
McCarthy Building Companies. From the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast. As the oldest privately held national construction company, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration.
All right, welcome back. Thanks to our sponsors for those announcements. Really appreciate it. Speaking of announcements, we do want to take the time to make sure that we let you know about events and where you can go to check them out. The Economic Alliance has a really good website. They're constantly working very diligently to update it. And so you can always go on there to find out about other events in the region. Also, our media partners, BIC Alliance, they always are really good about updating their website as well. So if you want to learn more about things that are going on in the region, you can always go to their website to find out about events. And we were talking before the show started about one of the events that you have coming up with the bike around the bay. So can you explain that to us? And it was really interesting. I enjoyed learning about it. So share with our guest.
I think quite a few folks have heard about Galveston Bay Foundation and the great work they do to protect the environment that we all depend on and enjoy. One of the things they do is they sponsor a bike ride, which goes all the way around Galveston Bay.
You said it's 175 miles?
It is 175 miles, and we get to do that over 2 days. But it's really neat because you start up at the Baytown Raceway, go around Anahuac, High Island, Bolivar Peninsula, and end up at Moody Gardens in Galveston Island after the first day. And the second day, you end up crossing the Fred Hartman Bridge and reaching the Baytown Raceway.
Very fun.
That sounds amazing. I think that would be really and that's in October?
That's in October. So you've got time. If you want to start training now, you can still make that right.
Yeah. No, I think I'll stick to basketball, where my natural skills shine.
Yeah.
I'll consider it. That's one thing that we do have coming up, specific to you. I know we've talked a lot about the organization, the company that you're with. We talked before the show, you said you came here in 96 to go to work, and you're still here today. You have to have a level of commitment to stay with where you're at, what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what's kind of led to your success.
Sure. If I'm just thinking about the three things that might have led to that success, I mean, first of all, again, it's the people that I've worked with and their willingness to share with me, you know, the experience and the skills that they developed. And that's really the reason that I'm still enjoying the work that I do with Karari is the people I work with. I think I've got a lot of curiosity about how things work and solving problems. And then my most fundamental skill is I'm just persistent. I won't quit until I figure out how to do it. do something.
Fantastic. Well, that makes me feel better, because if you're working in the plants, I want you to not quit until you figure out how to do it.
Exactly.
So, sleep well at night. Clint?
So one of the other personal highlights, you had talked about your son. So I know you're very proud of him. So share me a little about what he's been up to and what he's been doing.
Yeah, very proud of David. He actually started volunteering as a firefighter in Seabrook when he was 16. It's something that kind of runs in the family. His great-granddad was a fire chief in a little town in Wisconsin for more than 30 years.
Wow.
And David just wanted to follow, you know, that tradition. So he started volunteering when he was 16. Went to the academy down in Texas City. And he just got his first full-time job as a professional firefighter in Channelview. So we're
That's
really
cool.
proud of him.
That's a... And we appreciate all of our civil servants. So, you know, him making that kind of a commitment, I just want to say thank you, because, you know, a lot of times we take for granted how much training firefighters need. We take for granted the tools that they need to be successful at their job. And some of those may have come out of your plant as well, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that work in plants that also volunteer. And so some of them they're volunteering part-time. Some of them are volunteering full-time within the plant and outside the plant. So a lot of the local fire departments, whether it be Pasadena or Seabrook, they're still 100% volunteer. So when you see those guys out on call, you know, recognize that they're giving up their own time and time with their families to come help folks. And I think this is fantastic.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said, the products that y'all make, though, some of the plastics that go into their hard hats and helmets and things like that, that's pretty important too. So, I mean,
exactly.
It's kind of neat how full circle everything is, right?
Yeah.
And we've had numerous guests on the shows that, you know, we've always tried to highlight how much involvement that everybody in this industry has in the local community, right? I mean, they really do care about what's happening here on the local level. And so I think that's awesome, especially with your son getting involved with the firefighter department and volunteering when he's not on shift. He probably still does some volunteering. So that's amazing. So I'm happy to have him down here take care of us.
Well, Robert, as we look to kind of transition the show, and we always like to talk a little bit about gratitude, but, you know, our audience is made up of people who I don't think there's a balance of folks, right? There's folks who are spending their time in the plants. They're very aware of what's taking place. There's also a lot of folks who are servicing the plants. They're out here in the community, but it's important to them to understand what's taking place. So knowing that that's who you're speaking to today, is there anything that you'd like to really share and or just kind of, as you're signing off, right, what would you want to share from your role, from your position there at Karari and the time that you've served, you know, I think behind the gate, or is it behind the fence? Is that the term? You've been behind the fence. So you're speaking to people that aren't behind the fence today. And so tell us a little, you know, kind of your closing thoughts.
I think what I really want people to understand is that we have a group of people, and that's with the work for Karari, that work in the chemical industry, that really care about the safety of the process and the safety of the people inside the fence and outside the fence. And we're part of a community. You know, we live here and we want to protect the folks that work in the plant, the folks that live around our plants. And in many cases, whether it's us or others in the industry, we're producing products that protect the environment and they make our lives better. And so it's something that we're pretty passionate about. And I really want people to understand that most of all that passion is about safety and protection of people in the process.
That's amazing. I think hearing you use the word, we're making products that protect the environment. I mean, that's something that you don't.
It's not the narrative.
You don't hear the narrative, but I think it's significant. I think, and that's, you know, again, as a guy who has not been behind the fence, would love to go someday. So if you want to take me on a tour, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic! That was way easier than I thought. Okay, cool. So
he's
like, fantastic. You just have a whole series of tests and exams, and then background check. I'll pass the background check. I'm not sure about the exams. But, you know, that's fantastic. So I think that was a great way to resonate that, because it really hit home, and I hope it's home with our audience, that there's a lot of good that's being made out there for the people that we serve. So with that, I'll lead with gratitude, you know, and I'll just, because it's a great way to transition, and I'll say this. I'm thankful for the folks like yourself with the minds to go in and be able to, you know, thank God made everybody in a very unique way. And I was watching a a person work a, it was an ultrasound machine. And this guy had it down to a science. But what was really interesting, as I watched this guy work this ultrasound machine, is I thought, there's no way I would ever want to do that job. But this guy loved that job. And he was just, you know, it's almost like he was made to do that. You know, he was so tuned in to that process and to the technique and exactly what he needed to do. You could just tell he did thousands of them. And he was still doing it with joy, which is pretty amazing. So I know... I'm thankful for guys like yourself who are wired in a way that you could go out and on a daily basis constantly look for ways to get creative and innovative and think of things that guys like me would never even think about. Now, there's a likelihood that I would probably sell it, right? But I really think it's amazing that there's minds like yourself who are out there doing the things that they do behind the fence. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
So I'm really grateful. I mean, we touched on the civil service side of things. You know, we don't understand the sacrifices that our police are. Firefighters, our first responders, we don't realize how much time they put in, all emergency responders, they put in a lot of time to make sure that when we're at our worst, they can be at their best. And so I'm just grateful that they take that time, they put that effort in, so that if we're in that unfortunate circumstance, they can help us get through it in a better way. So I'm just grateful for our civil servants and what they do.
Robert?
Well, just wanted to thank you both for the opportunity to come and talk a little bit about Karari and the great people that work at Karari.
Fantastic. Well, we appreciate that. And as always, you can give us feedback. You can go to our website. You can go to the Facebook channel. You can contact Clint, myself, via LinkedIn.
Right.
We're always looking for potential guest opportunities, folks who might be interested in the show, and help us spread the word of all the great things that are happening across the Gulf Coast. Tune in next time, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
McCarthy Building Companies, from the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast. As the oldest privately held national construction company, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration.